Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's the burg in burglary?
What makes blackmail black?
And who were the original Goodfellas?
It's all crimes and capers and deviant behaviors on today's episode of Words Unraveled.
Welcome to another Words Unraveled. I'm Rob Watts from the YouTube channel Rob Words.
And I'm Jess Zafaris, author of the etymology books Once Upon a Word and Words from Hell. And today we are misbehaving on Words Unraveled, aren't we? We are committing a few crimes, breaking a few laws, that kind of thing.
Yes, we are putting words under investigation in an episode filled with malpractice, malfeasance, miscreants, and wrongdoing. Welcome to this episode of Words Unraveled, all about crime. Right, let's start there, Jess, as we always try to do with the origin of the word that is our theme. Where does the word crime come from?
So the Proto-Indo-European root of this word means to sieve or to sieve, depending on your accent, so to speak. The idea here is sort of like shaking out the idea of degrees of legality or morality. In 13th century English, crime was less legal and more religious, but those concepts, of course, have often been conflated. Crime could imply sinfulness rather than lawfulness until more recently.
But you do have to go really, really far back for it to mean anything other than just, you know, being naughty in one way or another. Right. So we get it from the Normans, don't we, when they set up their legal system, and we end up with all of these French words in English: justice, jury, judge.
Much of our legal system is very romance, and all the words that come with it. Well, most of the words that come with it, and the other ones kind of stick out in a sore thummy kind of way, as we've discussed previously about words like manslaughter.
Yeah, they hit really hard, the Anglo-Saxon legal terms, don't they, when you actually hear them? They seem sort of brutal. Do you know what word we were using before we were using the French word crime for when someone broke the sort of the law or the accepted principles of society?
What's that?
We used to call it an Unright or an Unrichter in Old English, which I like. But there's also another word, which is a Witte, which is W-I-T-E. And that meant a crime as well. A Witte.
Interesting. Does that one have any relatives?
Not that I'm aware of today. I did try to find them, and I didn't manage to seek any out.
We have all sorts of words for behaving badly. We've got words like depravity, which means completely crooked, from a Latin word, pravis, meaning crooked. We've got deviant, which, this is one of my favorite roots of all time, it's the Latin via or via, meaning way or road. And it shows up in all kinds of words like obvious and impervious, which are like something obvious is immediately in your path. Something impervious has no way through it. And then deviant means straying off of the figurative moral path.
Right. Yeah. A deviant is one who deviates essentially from their normal moral path.
Right. And then we've got words like that are very straightforward, like misbehave. But have you ever considered like what behave means?
I haven't. And now you mention it, I haven't got a clue.
It is the word have there on the end. And it is the prefix be, which we've talked about is this massive recourse. It can remove things like behead. It can make nouns into verbs implying doing terrible things to people, like in the word bedevil. It can be an intensifier in words like bethwack or betongue, which means to bethwack someone verbally.
To betongue them.
Yes. Which okay. Sounds a lot naughtier today. Or maybe not a lot naughtier, but a different kind of naughty.
It does.
The idea here in behave is that be is an intensifier and it advances the meaning of have. So when you behave, you not only have yourself and your stuff together, so to speak, you really have your stuff together so that all of the people around you holding your conduct are beguiled by just how unbalanced you aren't. So to misbehave is to not have your life in order, basically.
I see. I found a couple of other old words for misbehavior as well, or for criminal behavior. Abusion is a good one. You could commit an abusion or a misbode.
A misbode. I like that one. Like like forebode, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same bode.
Excellent. And that's related to words like bid and bade and things like that.
Correct.
Oh, I like that.
We've been there before, haven't we? So let's get into some crimes, I think, because that's the real sort of meat and drink of this subject, isn't it? Where, I mean, you mentioned manslaughter already, because we talked about that in another recent episode, didn't we? And how it was different to murder. From what I remember you saying, murder implied malice more than manslaughter did, hence murder is the one that means premeditation, whereas manslaughter is the one that doesn't.
But we get this word from Old Norse. Well, I'm sorry, it has a cognate very similar in Old Norse. Morð meant a secret slaying, and it was a more heinous crime than the Old Norse vig, which related to regular old killing.
Right. And the word morð is, yeah, present in Germanic languages today to mean killing or death. And indeed, the Old English word murther, which is the precursor to murder, right?
Absolutely. The Proto-Indo-European root here means to like rub away or to die. And it's also in words like mortal and morbid and mortuary and mortgage, literally a dead pledge. Not because you may pay a mortgage until you die, but because the deal dies when the property is paid off or when the payments can't be made and the property is seized.
Okay, because when you sign a mortgage deal, it does feel like you're signing your life away.
The joke is that, but ultimately that was not the original intention behind it.
Okay. Murder is like that's the big hitter. That is the 800-pound gorilla of the crime world.
Oh no.
Oh no, the jargon episode.
Not this again.
So I'm just leaking. Let's talk about some more crimes and where their origins came from. What have you got for us, Jess?
Oh, wait, real quick. I wanted to briefly note that the murder in the murder of crows, we've talked a little bit about the collectives of animals, but in case you haven't listened to that episode, you might be wondering why a group of crows is called a murder. And the idea is it's like an association with their behavior and their association with like bad omens and things. So in our 15th century Book of St. Albans, we had these collectives of animals like prickles of porcupines and a flamboyance of flamingos and a pride of lions. So we also have our murder of crows.
And there are also collective nouns for people in there as well. A pertinent one for this episode is an eloquence of lawyers, which is actually being rather nicer to lawyers than we have historically been in the past, particularly in terms of what we've called them, which I'm sure we'll get onto a bit later in this episode.
It also has a sentence of judges.
Oh, beautiful. Sentence, that's an interesting one, by the way, just as an aside, because sentence is related to words like sentiment and sense and sensitive. It's the idea of having a feeling or an opinion. And, you know, that is ultimately an opinion that's handed down by a judge. It's pretty cool.
Is that it? So I without having looked this up, my assumption was that it implied a finality in the same way that a sentence is a complete thought.
Yeah, I don't think it is that from what I was reading about it.
I believe you.
Yeah, but it might be.
Other words for killing things. We have a lot of words in English that end in C-I-D-E, side, about 50 of them, in fact. And that includes words like decide, which means to like basically cut off an argument in order to come to a conclusion. But we also have unusual ones like tyrannicide, parricide, which is a general word for killing a parent without going with like patricide and matricide. There's also words like pulicide, which is killing a flea, and vaticide, which means to kill a prophet, and deicide, which means to kill a god. And then dozens and dozens in between.
Yeah, and the ones we only hear about really are homicide and suicide. Regicide, to kill a king, I think. Is it specifically a king? No, a monarch, I suppose. I think regicide might be a queen as well.
Pertinent to our purposes is verbicide, which is the distortion of a word's meaning, essentially, to like make it meaningless, which happens a lot today because of like mis and disinformation.
Right, the killing off of a word through misuse. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And then linguicide, unfortunately, has happened a lot with like indigenous languages that have been killed through conquest and colonialism.
One that caught my eye is the word burglary, because there's a transatlantic difference, you know, in how we approach that word, purely through the fact that the word burglarize is a purely American term. It's never used in English. You burgle something. It's never used in British English. You burgle something.
I'm not sure I say either all that often, but yes, generally speaking.
Burgle does sound a bit odd, doesn't it? I can see why burglarize was invented, but it's a fairly new invention. But I was amazed to find out where the word burglary comes from, because it's rare in that it's an old English Latin hybrid, because the burg at the start of there is the same as at the end of a lot of place names like Edinburgh or Peterborough or Canterbury, that B-U-R-Y-B-O-U-R-G-H-B-U-R-G-H, because a burg was an Anglo-Saxon fortified settlement. It was a walled town, essentially. And the word that we were using before the Normans came for someone who was a burglar, what we'd call a burglar now, was a burbrecher, which was a fortification breaker.
Like a burg breaker, huh?
Exactly, yeah. And then the Normans, when they take control of the courts, they add a sort of Latinate ending to the first component of that old English term, and you get a burglary or something along those lines. I don't know what accent they would have used back then. And hence, we have burglary now.
It almost means housing someone or like invading their home, but without the invasion part even in the word.
If you take away the actual crime, yeah, it becomes rather redundant. But that is what we're left with. But you have to bear in mind that that's all about breaking in, not necessarily stealing something. So burglary doesn't have to involve theft.
A legal term that comes up around theft is larceny, right? Which is from a Latin word for a hireling or a mercenary originally. So somebody would pay to go be a bandit against your enemies or whatever else.
It's not a word that you hear very much in Britain either, actually, larceny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very old English word, as in it's a word that's been around in the English language for a long time. It doesn't get used
like 11th century, something like that.
Yeah, it's proper old in it. Perhaps while burgling, you might trespass. And that's also got quite an interesting old origin.
Right, because it's also in like prayers and things.
Yeah, because it's an old word just meaning a sin. It comes from the Latin transpassare, which means to pass or to cross beyond, to pass beyond. And in English, it means to pass beyond a border. It's quite literal. But in French, trépasser has a different meaning. It means to die. It means to pass over.
That makes sense to me.
To the other side.
Seems a lot more, straightforward than the idea of a sin as a trespass or an invasion. Another word for, the word thief itself is an old English word, and it's been around for a long time. It's not super known its exact root or relatives, but 19th century dictionaries distinguished between thieves and robbers, with a thief stealing things without the knowledge of the victim, while a robber stole or plundered things openly and with the victim fully aware that they were being shaken down. Speaking of which, rob. is related to words like reaver and rover, and distantly to words like corrupt, which we talked about rompere in a previous episode as well.
I see. So a thief is more sneaky than a robber.
Let's see, what other crimes can we talk through?
Well, how about arson?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that one's got a lot of related words that you might not expect.
Burn that one down.
Very good. And it does come from the same Latin root as ardor or ardent, words that mean to burn. Yeah, we get it from French, though. Another one we get from French is poaching, which is the crime of hunting where you shouldn't be. And the word comes from a French verb, pocher, or at least this is where it's thought to come from. I don't know exactly where it came from, but it seems like the most likely candidate is this French verb, pocher, which is to put something in a bag. In French, une poche is a bag. In fact, it also means your pocket these days, but originally it's just a bag. And from that, we get the word poke. So, when we talk about a pig in a poke, that's buying a pig in a sack and not seeing it before you actually purchase it. And it turns out, oh, it wasn't a very good pig, or it wasn't a pig at all. It was a cat or something in the end. And also the word pocket, which comes from the French for a small bag. And a poacher is so called because, they were hunt things, kill them.
Bag an animal, basically.
Stick it in a bag. Yeah. But also, you might be surprised to find that poaching an egg is related to poaching a deer or poaching a bird.
Is it because it becomes like a little sack?
It's exactly
when you
that.
Put it in the water. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Cute.
The white becomes a little posh, a little pocket for the yolk. I think that's adorable.
Now, poaching was like kind of romanticized in previous versions of history. It was like kind of a way to stick it to people who would, you know, cordon off land for only certain like game purposes, which we've talked about, game being non-subsistence hunting and more fun hunting. And only higher and wealthier classes had access to that kind of hunting where, so, you know, Robin Hood and whatnot would shoot deer in the King's Woods or whatever else. Now that we have people who are poaching like endangered animals, we definitely don't celebrate that in any capacity because it's threatening entire and beloved species.
But good luck getting a white rhino in a bag to do that.
No kidding.
It's not funny.
A little funny.
I don't know, a bit funny.
Definitely a funny mental image. Let's see, another type of thieving, and this is one of my favorite ones because it's kind of adorable, is the word caper. And I guess this could be for any crime, but I usually associate it with like stealing jewels or something in an exciting film. It's from the Latin word capriole, meaning to leap or skip. And the idea is just that it's like, it started out as adventurous pranks implying a degree of playfulness and then to entertaining criminal activity thanks to like crime fiction and films.
I see. Like, just imagine people bounding around,
right,
pilfering things.
Ooh, with their sack over the back.
Yeah, with their swag bag over their shoulder. Yeah. What about crimes like forgery? Forgery is a good one because it seems like it's related to the word forge, and it is, you know, a forge is somewhere where you make things, and forgery is the act of making things. They come from exactly the same French source. What about embezzlement?
So embezzlement is stealing for rich people. It's kind of a white collar crime. It's pretty bad, but it's usually considered like a nonviolent white collar crime these days. And today's sense has absolutely nothing on its original meaning. The word's old French origin means to steal, but bezillier ranged in meaning from torment, to destroy, to gouge. And that's probably an extension of terms like price gouging, reflecting the same sort of oddly violent analogy between money and physical torment.
Yeah, it is weirdly violent, the origin of embezzle, and it's become something, non-violent. Almost that's kind of the point of the non-violence of it is why it's so pernicious and so damaging, potentially, because it can go undetected. Can't it?
Speaking of which, do you know the origin of pernicious?
No, do you?
It literally means completely violently murdering someone. Essentially, like the root here is the Latin nicare, meaning to kill, related to innocent, meaning like not harming or not injuring, which I got that wrong on a previous episode, so mea culpa. But yes, here we go. We have per, which in this case is an intensifier, and then nicare, meaning of like a violent killing.
Good grief.
Or to kill violently.
So, yeah, pernicious is a more pernicious word than I had previously thought it was.
Indeed. And we also, I think we've addressed this before, but corrupt is another word that we consider like corruption tends to feel political or white collary, but it literally means like to break or to destroy.
Yeah, it's related to rupture and disrupt, like we've talked about before, all of these rompere words from before.
Another thing that tends to happen to people in higher ranking spaces is a scandal, right? And a scandal is literally a trap laid by an enemy for their opponent. It's a Greek word, basically, meaning like a stumbling block or a trap laid for an enemy. And it's ultimately from the same root as the word slander. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, yeah, slander comes from a French term, esclonde, which is old French, which is exactly the same source as the word scandal as well. So scandal and slander, yeah, they're both getting it exactly the same thing.
Scandal is directly from scandalon in Greek, and then slander came through French, basically, and so it got some extra syllables and elements to it.
Oh, I see.
Even in old French, it meant like an inflammatory or false statement. One of the first appearances of scandal in English is in the 13th century Guide for Anchoresses with the spelling like candle with an S on the front. This described like a moral stumbling block or a potential temptation for religious hermits. But it took on its full like gossipy sense in the late 16th century. Shakespeare mentions it in Sonnet 112, "Your love and pity doth the impression fill, which vulgar scandal stamped upon my brow."
Scandalized. That sounds like the sort of word that Shakespeare would have invented, right? Just sticking the eyes on the end of a scandal and turning that noun into a verb.
He's sort of alluding to an unknown bit of scandal that damaged his reputation in this sonnet.
Another term we have that simply just means sort of bad speech in a similar way that scandal does is blasphemy.
Proper religious crime.
yeah, but it means, you know, it's from the Greek for literally just sort of bad speech, villainous speech. But it, you know, it has meant to speak against God, or it has meant to mean just saying anything that's blooming out of order.
Right.
In the past, yeah.
Another one that I think has a pretty interesting origin and could perhaps be politically motivated like some of these others is sabotage, which has a lot more to do with shoes than you might expect.
Yeah, I do know this one. Go for it.
So it's from the French saboté, which originally meant to like clumsily bungle something, but literally to walk noisily as if you are in like a clunky wooden shoe.
Yeah.
There's a common sort of folk etymology that says sabotage first appeared in the French and English industrial revolutions and referred to the idea that during labor disputes, workers would throw shoes into the machinery as a form of rebellion. And, you know, it's entirely possible that this did happen. Sabotage seems to have already meant that before the Industrial Revolution. So when or to what extent shoes were used to sabotage is a little bit up for debate.
Maybe that's how they got the idea. They thought, hey, maybe we could literally use our shoes to use our sabots to sabotage this thing.
Right. The earlier meaning of sabotage is just like messing up or bungling something, like playing music badly. Right. like sabotage. Like,
you have sabotaged my composition.
Oh, I love it.
Another one, kidnap, is quite an interesting
one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it is what it sounds like. And it originally does just apply to abducting children, primarily for, you know, the purpose of forcing them into labor or into slavery, mainly on plantations in the Americas. And that nap bit is just related to the word nab. You know, it just means, you know, child snatching.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Another word, and I'll preface this by saying it's a bit of a sensitive topic, and I'm going to use a couple of words that might make a couple people uncomfortable, but that reminds me of the word rape, actually, because it also essentially means to snatch. It's related to words like rapid, ravine, rapt, rapacious, surreptitious, ravish, raptor, usurp, ravenous, and even, well, I mentioned rapture, but the idea of the rapture is literally being snatched away to heaven, which I find incredibly alarming.
Yeah.
And doesn't sound like something I would want.
And all those dinosaurs that have got raptor at the end, like you mentioned raptors, one of these, it just means a type of thief. So you have an oviraptor, which is an egg thief. You have a velociraptor, which is a speedy thief.
All of these words have something to do with like taking, snatching, digging into like a ravine is like the earth that has been snatched away. If you are rapt, your attention has been captured. If you're ravenous, you are actually like a ravine. You're not like a raven.
Yeah, because you could very easily be tempted to think that it's related to the word raven, and weirdly, it's not.
Not at all. Curiously, there is one form of rape that isn't actually awful, and that's in the word rapeseed, which is the plant from which rapeseed oil or canola oil is derived. And here, it's unrelated to the plundery, snatchy, sexually terrible type, but instead gets its name from the Latin rapa, meaning turnip.
Oh, okay. It's a type of... okay.
Green-thumbed gardeners might even cultivate winter rape and summer rape, which both sound way worse than they are. Another one that's a little bit snatchy, but a lot less alarming to say out loud, is the word heist, which I think I've addressed this before, but it's one of my favorites. It's basically a noun form of the word hoist. To conduct a heist is much in the same way as thieves would like lift something out of your pockets. It's like hoisting something big and conducting a bigger theft or crime.
Right. We have talked about it as being holding something up. And also a lifter is an old fashioned word for a criminal. So when you talk about a shoplifter, you know, to lift something is to steal it. And actually I've got a whole list of old names for criminals. So in the past, thieves have been referred to as lime twigs, because a lime twig is what you used to use to catch a bird, right? Lime was this sort of sticky substance that we put on a twig, right? And the bird would land on it and you would therefore ensnare the bird. And that became applied to thieves. It's not terribly nice, but true. They were called puggards. They were called gilt dubbers. They were called nimmers, because nim is the old English word for to take, isn't it? Nimman is the old verb that we had before take.
When you say gilt dubbers, is that word gold, like gilded, or is it like guilt as an emotional guilt?
No, it's spelt like gold or guilt or guild.
So you're probably snatching gold or something is the idea.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually quite specifically a lock picker, but I guess they're trying to get at something, aren't they? You could also be called a filch, a geech, a snammer, a tea leaf, which you sometimes still hear because it's Cockney rhyming slang for thief. And actually, my parents had a cat called Tea Leaf. Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it was cute. Yeah, and a cloyer. I don't think I mentioned cloyer already. But here's a really interesting old word for a thief. And it's a good fellow.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, I mean, there's a whole movie about good fellas, right?
Yes, indeed it is. Yeah, but actually the term good fella, good fellow, goes back a very, very long way. And it's a reference to Robin Goodfellow, who was a mischievous forest sprite. He gets a mention in A Midsummer Night's Dream. That shrewd and knavish sprite called Robin Goodfellow. Yeah, so it's a 16th, 17th century term, good fellow. But yeah, we have good fellas now.
That's much more charming than the things that happen in that film.
Charming is not a word I would use to describe it, indeed.
When you mentioned cloyer, is that related to the word cloying, like something that's too sweet?
I don't know.
I would think
find
so.
I mean, etymology for it. Is cloying something that's sweet? Okay, because I sort of imagine it as being sort of, I don't know, claggy. I'm just using other dialect words.
Yeah. This isn't real. But I think they probably all have to be related, right? Let's see. Okay, so yes, these words appear to be from a word meaning to grip or grasp.
Oh.
So yeah, that would make
like
sense.
Like a claw.
And so to like something that cloys at you, kind of bothers you. And cloying can also imply like food being too much, you know?
Right. And I mentioned that word, a puggard. To pug at something is also to sort of to pull at it, to grasp at it. A couple of other old words for criminals more broadly was a wanderlud. And so you can explain this ARD ending, which you have done a lot in the past, but it essentially means someone who does something a lot, right?
It's a pejorative, but originally an intensifier. So like a braggart is someone who brags too much. A drunkard is someone who drinks too much.
Right.
Things like that.
And a wanderlud, well, a wandel is an old Germanic word for a crime. It's in German, it was a Vandal. Vandal. I've only just made that link.
That makes sense. Is it also related to...
Is that going to be a link? Because the Vandals were a group of people, weren't they? They weren't necessarily criminals. I wonder if that is a link. I'm not sure. But it's spelled with a W.
Well, there is a relative here. It looks like all of them are related to words like wander. So the Vandals were people who were literally wanderers.
And that word for crime is also to do with wandering, is it?
That appears to be the case. The other, you know, it is interesting that for much of history and even today, like there is an implication that wandering or someone who is a wanderer is a criminal. We have words like a vagabond and things like that who are also literally wanderers. It's from the Latin vagari, meaning to wander around.
Yeah, vagrant. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This notion of vagrancy as romantic or as criminal seems to fluctuate throughout history too, right? Because we have like hobos and tramps, so to speak, were also romanticized. Tramps, so named for tramping across the country. Hobo has a bunch of theories about it. No one knows for sure exactly where it came from, but it could have been from a call like ho boy, which was a common call to workers on railroads where hobos would use like for shelter and travel or to pick up work. Or it could be from hawbuck, a word for a person who lives in the country that implied kind of loutish behavior and lack of education, maybe sort of the like trashy sense that we sometimes hear now.
Can I go off on a massive tangent and just say, you mentioned hoboy as a potential source. You know, hoboy is the older English name for the oboe, the instrument, the oboe.
Is it really?
Yeah, because the term oboe is an Italian take on the French hautbois, which is spelled A-U-T, meaning high, and bois, B-O-I-S, meaning wood, because it's a relatively high-pitched wood instrument. But that got rendered into English as hoboy.
That is delightful. That is wonderful knowledge. I'm so happy that I learned this today.
You're welcome. But anyway, back to crime. Felon's an interesting word. Again, it's one of those words that gets used a lot more in the US than it gets used in England. Like, we don't really talk about felonies all that much. You look excited, Jess.
It's because it has kind of a potentially naughty connection here.
Go on.
Well, it's from the Latin felonum, meaning evildoer. But beyond this Latin source, it's unclear. It could be from a Frankish term, meaning kind of like scourger or something like that, or scourger. It could be from a Latin term for a bitter poison, or it could be from the Latin felare, meaning to suck, which is related to a particular word.
For goodness sake, Jess.
Which would, and the idea might be that this was an intentional joke implying that a felon is, at least etymologically, a cocksucker. Like, I'm not, I wish I were making this up, but this is...
Why did that come up in your...
This is not me coming up
in your research, but it didn't come up in my research, I'll tell you that much.
I'm so sorry.
You're always searching different corners of the internet. Do I have? If I can move us on slightly.
I found this one in a book, thank you.
Yeah, to be fair. This is all, by the way, in Words from Hell, Jess's very good book.
It is also found in my book, so there's that.
Yes, one of the interesting things about felon is it's related to the word fell, as in one fell swoop, which is a sort of fossil word, and it's used by Shakespeare in... And yeah, the term one fell swoop is coined by Shakespeare in Macbeth, right? And he's talking about birds, by the way, in that moment. So when we talk about one fell swoop, he's saying how his, who is it that's saying it? I don't remember, is it Macduff? Saying that their whole family has been slaughtered in one fell swoop, like little birds captured by a hawk and a murderous, villainous swoop.
I like that.
One murderous, villainous swoop.
And then yeah. Fell here is also related to the term like fell beast. A beast that is particularly wicked or cruel or evil. Felon ended up being a mashup of these, as far as I could find, these like the Latin term and the Old English term.
One of the things you talked about was it potentially having something to do with venom. Actually, a felon has also in the past been an English word for a boil or a sore, something that is filled with venom.
Ew. Yeah. Another semi-fossilized term that a felon might do is the term wreaking havoc. And wreak is the like semi-fossilized word here. You can wreak a lot of things like havoc and vengeance and ruin. So that's why I say semi-fossilized, but it is kind of used specifically in those contexts. Wreak is from an Old English word meaning to drive out or avenge. Curiously, it was only extended to the sense seen in the phrase wreak havoc, where it meant cause or inflict, starting the 1800s, thanks to Shelley, Percy Shelley in particular, who paired it with ruin. So with thee, if thou desirest, will I seek through their array of banded slaves to wreak ruin upon the tyrants. As far as havoc, that is not a fossil word. It was originally an Anglo-French war cry that gave soldiers a command to pillage a place, which is why Mark Antony, also in Shakespeare, says, cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war in Julius Caesar.
That's right. Shakespeare's coming up a lot.
All sorts of crimes happen in Shakespeare.
Yeah, well, this is true. This is true. I've got some old crimes.
I would love to hear about old crimes.
So you heard of the term eavesdropping. You know, that was a crime at one time, a punishable crime. So it's a crime of lurking around at night, basically. And the name comes from the idea of someone lurking in the eaves. So that's underneath the edge of the roof of a house so that they can listen in to what's going on inside of the house. And the dropping idea, I think, is based around the idea that you're so close to the eaves that any water that's trickling off it, any rainwater or whatever, it's trickling onto you. It's dropping onto you, and you are an eavesdropper. And yeah, that was a punishable crime.
One thing about eavesdrop is that it was originally a noun. The eavesdrop or eavesdrip was the area underneath the eaves that would allow you to remain concealed, and it would be where the water would drip off the edge of the eaves. So it was called the eavesdrop or eavesdrip because that's where the water dropped off.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because yes, a drop can be a noun for something that's sort of overhangs, can't it?
I looked into this because in Fellowship of the Ring, Sam is confused when Gandalf accuses him of eavesdropping because Bag End doesn't even have any eaves. He's like, it couldn't possibly be eavesdropping because there are no eaves.
Technically true. That might well hold up in court. Who knows? Another funny crime that I came across was the crime of crimping.
Crimping?
Which is...
That sounds like a hair thing to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, it is, isn't it? But back in the day, it's actually a bit more like kidnapping, but with adult men. And instead of forcing them into slavery, you forced them into the military. It was the abducting of adult men and forcing them to serve. And that was called crimping.
What other antiquated crimes do we have?
Well, I'll tell you, so this one isn't, it's not a crime. It's actually a punishment, but I wanted to mention it because it came up while I was searching for crimes. Because there's a sort of petty crime called riding the skimmington. And what a skimmington is a procession. It's a parade designed entirely to humiliate and shame either a husband or wife who has been unfaithful or mistreated their spouse. So you would have this noisy parade where you dragged them through the village or the town, and it was called a skimmington. And to ride the skimmington was to participate in this unruly behavior, because I don't think it was terribly official.
That sounds horrible.
It was a shaming. And also skimmington became another term for a man who was he was being henpecked by his wife, a sort of weedy husband. Is it fair to call someone who's being henpecked weedy? I don't know. Maybe it's not. But anyway, it wasn't considered a particularly good thing to be.
It's not a term that comes up a lot in my world.
It was skimmington. I'd never heard of it before either.
Another type of crime one might commit is conning someone, right? Basically like trying to get money out of them. There are many different ways to do this. We've talked briefly before about the fact that con can be short for convict or confidence artist, but generally speaking, when you're talking about someone conning you, it's that confidence scheme. You gain someone's confidence in order to get something out of them. Another word that relates to that kind of thing is swindle, which is oddly cute. Yeah. It means to be giddy.
You're going to swindle me. That sounds delightful.
Right? And that's what it means.
Does it involve ribbons?
It's from German, and it describes like both cheats and giddy people, perhaps from the idea of like the giddiness of gambling. The theory here is a little bit murky.
Schwindler,
I believe, Schwindler.
Okay.
For whatever reason, swindling someone is maybe cackling as you're running away with their funds. Another way to get money out of someone is to blackmail them, or you could get a number of things. You could buy silence with blackmail. You could get anyone to behave in a certain way that you want. But blackmail originally had nothing to do with mail, as in letters or really anything we would call mail today.
And is it anything to do with the mail that one would wear?
No, neither that nor that. The practice was called blackmail. Of course, the black part refers to the evilness of it. As for the male part, in Middle English, this was a word meaning rent or tribute. So blackmail essentially means evil rent or evil tribute. And the idea is kind of like extorting poor people out of their rent or like making people pay, sort of like a racket, as we might use it today.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, right? It's making someone have to pay a sort of, dues, where really you've got no right to be demanding them out of them.
It is ultimately related to words like meet, as in to meet another person, and meal, implying like an appointed time for gathering and eating. The spelling probably evolved through folk etymology, perhaps associating extortion with like correspondence that's meant to intimidate or to exploit someone via a written agreement.
Do you have extortion on your list of crimes?
This is another one of those like curiously violent ones. It means to like wrench or twist something out of someone. The tort here is from torquere, meaning to twist.
Right, like distort, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, and talk. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is horrible.
to twist out of someone, to something out of someone.
It implies like twisting somebody's arm behind their back almost. Mm-hmm. one topic that I found particularly interesting is the many words for snitches, people who inform on crimes. So like, and the act of snitching. Snitch implied like someone who, it's usually a word for like a nose or something. So it's somebody who's like poking around and business they shouldn't. There's also like squeal and bark and belch and bleat, all words for like wailing to the cops after you've been squeezed a little bit. Narc is fun because it's not related to, it's not short for narcotic, but they heavily overlap in meaning and usage. Like narc is a word for a police informer, first showed up in the 1800s and is thought to be related to a Romani word for, again, nose. And then the idea is like, you're a nosy bastard who should keep that schnozzy ears out of my business unless you want to lose it. And then narc as in narcotics agent, thanks to the context, its usage is also almost certainly influenced by the older term narc with a K and the snitch sense.
I'm glad you mentioned narc, actually, because I've got that on a list I've got here of prison slang, Victorian prison slang that we still use today. And these are words that were invented in the, not just in the Victorian era, but in the, you know, the 18th and 19th centuries to be used in prisons, usually in London and the like, to, you know, to not be understood by the prison guards. And yeah, narc is one of them, as you mentioned, for a policeman's spy. But also we sometimes use the word barmy to mean someone who's mad. That comes from prison slang. Clobber, meaning clothing. This is all quite British slangy, I appreciate. Conk, meaning nose, you can sometimes still hear. A copper, calling a policeman a copper, and therefore a cop, which is a much more of an Americanism. That comes from prison slang in London. You've also got to DOS. Do you use the word DOS in the US at all?
Is it related at all to the word dossier?
No. To DOS is to sort of idle. It's to kill time. And it's, prison slang for to sleep, actually. Dukes, meaning hands, you know, put your dukes up. That's also old prison slang. To front something, to lend someone some money, to, you know, front me a tenner. Is to lend me a tenner. Also mob, the word mob, meaning a gang. That comes from prison slang. Nut, meaning head, is prison slang. Pal was originally a partner in crime in prison slang.
That's kind of cute.
And a quid. Prison slang is the origin of quid, meaning a sovereign originally, but now that we use to mean a pound. Yeah. And then there's lots of other prison slang that didn't survive this long, but is worth a mention. For example, to borrow something was known as biting someone's ear. So for example, he wanted to bite my ear for a shilling would mean he wanted to borrow a shilling off me. People would talk about being a cannon, which meant to be drunk. And we talked about how many words for being drunk the Brits have. And we didn't even include that one. That one's kind of died out. But you could say, I was so cannon, I barely made it home on Thursday. Daisy roots, that's rhyming slang for boots. And some people might have heard it because it's in the song My Old Man's a Dustman. There's a line in there. Do you know My Old Man's a Dustman?
I've heard of it, yeah.
My old man's dustman, he wears a dustman.
Yeah.
There's a line in there. He looks a proper nana in his great big hobnail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up that he calls them daisy roots. It doesn't make an awful lot of sense.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Call me Lonnie Donegan. Giving hot beef. That's a term from prison slang. Can you guess what giving hot beef was?
I mean, I'm gonna come up with probably a naughtier meaning of this than it actually has. Just tell me.
It's for the best, isn't it? Actually, giving hot beef meant shouting "stop thief." It is a kind of
I see. It's rhyming slang too. That sounds much worse to my ear.
It does. Well, can you guess what screws men were then?
I mean,
they were burglars, Jess. Get your head out of the toilet.
No.
And incidentally, to grease someone's duke was to pay them a bribe.
They're making this so easy.
Yeah, so you know how you grease someone's palm? That's to pay a bribe. Well, it was to grease someone's duke because we discussed duke meaning stop it. Stop it. Now I'm thinking about a greased up duke, which was bad enough. Oh, particularly some of those modern dukes. Oh,
what have we done? What have we done?
Oh, what have you done? I don't know. Yeah, so that's a prison slang cant. A lot of that feeds into Polari as well in the 20th century, you know, the sort of gay slang of London. A lot of those terms make it into there as well. It's also heavily influenced by Italian and other languages. That's something we should definitely talk about sometime. London's gay slang, Polari.
Oh, that's
fascinating
neat.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get into that another time, I think. Have you got any slang stuff, Jess?
Yeah, so the two that I have in particular are for people who didn't do it but have been pinned with the crime. So a stool pigeon was a police informer, somebody who betrays someone else, but was earlier word for like a decoy bird. A stool was the like movable pole or perch where you would attach, unfortunately, a pigeon to lure wild birds in to attack it, like to grab a, to catch a hawk for hawking purposes and things like that. So if you were a stool pigeon, you were the unfortunate pigeon who got put in the way of the hawk.
Birds have not done well out of this episode, have they?
All right. And a patsy is another one. This is another word for a fall guy, so to speak, which fall guy makes sense, somebody who takes the fall. Patsy is from an Italian word, pazzo, meaning like a madman, apparently, or a fool. The idea is somebody who is not intelligent enough to get out of the way of having the crime pinned upon them.
Right. And if you do have a crime pinned on you that you didn't commit, you could be called a scapegoat.
That's biblical. It's also kind of a Jewish term, too. There's a portion of Leviticus that addresses the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, and basically the tradition was to select two male goats. Someone draws lots on behalf of the two goats, and one of them gets sacrificed, and the other one is presented to God and then sent into the wilderness, bearing the sins of the people as sort of a proxy for their wrongdoing. And the one that gets sent away is the scapegoat, sort of like the sin eater that we talked about previously.
Right, right. You know, it's a very peculiar term, and one that I think non-native speakers have a bit of trouble with. And I know this actually for a fact, because I said, my wife's in the next room, so I'll speak in hushed tones. We were once watching a crime show, and we're watching it with the subtitles on. We're watching it in English, but with the subtitles on, because it's just, I don't know, it's the thing to do these days. They mentioned a scapegoat, but my wife didn't quite catch that bit. She said, sorry, who was the space goat?
I mean, it makes sense. It would be confusing, yeah. But it has the variations of this term across languages. It's pretty neat, are pretty neat, rather. It's originally from a Hebrew term, sort of implying it literally means like the goat that departs, and is related to the name of the now demon Azazel. But it was translated, the Hebrew term was translated into Latin as caper emissarius, or the emissary goat. In German, the term translates to the single goat. In Greek, it translates to the goat that goes out. And then in French, it's also emissary goat. In English, the goat is scaping, which is short for escaping, which also has a really interesting origin. It literally means to get out of your cape. Like, it's the idea is like someone has grabbed your cape and you're like dancing out of it.
It's to escape.
Right, exactly. There are a few other words from English linguistic history that include scape as a shortened form of escape. They're not related to words like landscape, but someone who is, say, a scapegrace has avoided the grace of God, and a scape gallows is someone who deserves to be hanged but isn't, or dodges the hangman's noose.
Escape gallows. That's a good one. Now, that, if there's any word that I take away from this episode, scape gallows.
I like that one.
Well, I think we've gone pretty deep into the criminal underworld during this one. What's your verdict? Oh, verdict, by the way, means true said,
truth
quite literally.
Saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes, from Latin, the dict is the same as in dictation and all of the words that mean said. Anyway, what's your verdict? Pretty good one. Huh?
Delightfully nefarious and indeed a bit naughty, and I love it.
Thank you very much for watching or listening to this episode of Words Unraveled, and we'll catch you in the next one.
We'll see you next time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.